This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, staff, and welcome everyone, both participants and observers, to the ninth meeting of the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing Accountability Workstream to Human Rights Subgroup. It is 1900 UTC at October 18th, and we are together here in the Adobe Connect room to discuss the work that we've been doing. And for that, we have a full agenda, partially thanks to the drafting team that has been working hard this week and whose work has been distributed to you before. But before we continue, let's start off with the administrative matters. Staff, could you please be so kind to take a roll call from the Adobe Connect room? And could everyone who is on the audio bridge and is not on the Adobe Connect room please state their name so that they are in the logs and archives? There is no one on the audio bridge who is not on the Adobe Connect call. Oh, there's Jorge, who is the Swiss number, which is the only other number. And Jorge is also in the Adobe Connect room, so that is great. I did not receive any apologies. And does anyone have an update to their statement of interest? No updates. So then I'd like to ask, do people have an addition or change or suggestion for the agenda? I see Tatiana Tropina has some problems with the audio. Staff, could you please follow up on that? Because it would be great to have Tatiana in the call as one of the participants of the drafting team. So before we go to the next point, I would just like to shortly remark that I've made a quick and short report update which I sent to the list, which I will need to submit to the CCWG co-chairs by the end of the week. But of course, I do not want to misrepresent anything that we've been doing here. So I've been sharing you my short draft report to the list. So if people have any suggestions to it, please feel free to comment on it or add. So that's on the list. And I see David McCauley has a hand up. David, please come in.
Niels, hi. It's David McCauley speaking for the transcript. Thank you. Thank you for that letter, for the short summary. I saw it earlier, and I think the term, I don't have it in front of me, but I think the term that you used for the Ruge principles 13A and 15A were relevant, and I think that would be fine. I could agree with that. I just wanted to make it clear that with respect, I think, in 13A to the word address, I'm not sure we're of one mind on what that means yet. That's really my comment. But thank you for doing that, Niels, and that's my understanding of how it would be seen. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, David. I also tried to indicate that it was relevant, not that we completely agree on the text or how it would be implemented or that we signed up to anything. So that's why I kept a relatively loose description. But if you would like to edit or comment to it, I propose that we do wordsmithing on the list. I'm pretty sure that we can work out something there. But thank you very much for your comments. I see Cafu's hand is up. Cafu, please come in. Cafu, I'm afraid you might be on mute. Cavus?
Hello, do you hear me?
I can hear you now, Cavus.
Yes.
Great to hear your voice again.
May I respectfully ask everybody, including David McCauley, when he speaks, please kindly, for the benefit of non-English spoken, please speak slowly. Make separate syllables from one another and allow the people to fully understand you. Is it possible? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavus. And that's a fair point. It's very important that we all understand each other, and that that we also think about people who for whom English is not their first language, such as myself. So that's a very good point. Thank you. So on that note, I would like to go into the discussion of the document that has been furthered by the drafting team, for which I would like to ask the drafting team, consisting of Greg, Tatiana, Matthew, and Jorge, who have been working this week. We've been able to, I think, present you a bit cleaner document, which we can talk you through where we are. So I'd like to ask the staff if they could please pull up the document that I've disseminated, which is coming up. Thank you very much, staff. And then I would like to ask the people from the drafting team to take us through it part by part, starting maybe with a short introduction and then to the part of within the scope and mission. Who can I give the floor of Tatiana, Matt, Greg, and Jorge?
Ladies first.
So if everyone is pointing to each other now, so Tatiana, why don't you give it a... Greg's hand is off. Greg, please come in.
Thanks. Greg Shatton, for the record. It would help to have scroll control on the document, since I can only see the first page otherwise. Kind of taking it from the top, if you will, the first part of the bylaw that we are looking at in this document is the phrase, within the scope of its mission. And we felt that this was relatively self-explanatory and didn't need a lot of interpretive assistance, although perhaps some. So what we did here is really just to bring the mission portion of the bylaws into the document. So other than the three-line chapeau that you see there, everything else for the next several pages, and obviously it would not be several pages if we did not have, you know, narrow columns, but that is life. Everything goes on and is just the mission statement until you get to about page, really to the end of this section. Which ends on page six, I believe it is, six or seven. So it may be that we think that there needs to be some interpretive gloss on within the scope of its mission. But by and large, I think there are other sections that do need interpretation. But this is one part that's self-explanatory. So there's really at this point, the thinking of at least the subgroup, I mean, appear to be that the less said, the better on this point. There's no reason to load on unnecessary interpretation. There's enough time and space that we'll need for appropriate and necessary interpretation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. For that, Greg, I think this was also roughly the feeling that was shared within the whole drafting team. Am I right? Tatiana, Jorge, do you have anything to add? Matt, I felt was that we were relatively converging here. Tatiana, feel free to step in.
Hello, everyone. Tatiana Tropina is speaking for the record. Yes, I completely agree with Greg, and basically our mission section is self-explanatory, and then when on the stage of interpretation or on the stage where human rights will be taken into consideration, every case would be checked again the ICANN mission, which establishes the boundaries and see if it oversteps the boundaries or not. So after the framework is adopted, after ICANN is taken human rights considerations into account, this would be a test for every case. So, but other than that, it's completely self-explanatory. Thanks.
Perfect. So many lawyers and still agreement. I like it. Let's continue. Jorge?
Good evening. Did you hear me okay?
Very well. Great to hear you.
Hello, this is Jorge Canje for the record. Well, I will be very brief on this. I think that Greg and Tatiana explained the point quite well. It is important to always bear in mind when we are talking about this core value that we are bound by the mission and that we spent a lot of time in Work Stream 1 in order to get to a very strict and well-defined mission. So it's something that is repeated in the core value about human rights in several instances, and I think it's something also that may be taken into account regarding potential interpretations of risks that we will step beyond the mission with this core value. Because I think that this element of being bound by the mission and being this strict commitment or a strict rule within the framework of the bylaws should a bit compensate for such concerns of potential risk. Thank you.
Perfect, Jorge. So now we had a short presentation of this first part by the people from the design team. So now I would like to invite others to comment, and I see Cavus handed up. Cavus, please come in.
Yes. While we're thanking these four lawyers, I'm not lawyer, I'm a simple man, I don't think that we need this quotation. Our work is not to quote something from the bylaw. This is a little group, and bylaw is above that, and we don't need to confirm or affirm or object to what is in the bylaw. I don't think it's interpretation. The maximum, anything in the document you produce, you could say pursuant to, and just give the title of the mission or paragraph number of the mission and later on the core value and say whatever you want to say as interpretation, but not quoting the bylaw. I am not very comfortable with that. I'm very sorry. I'm very thankful to all these four lawyers, but I don't think that it is necessary. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavus. So it seems that I see from Brett commented. So we've already removed quite a lot of discussion, Brett, but I also kept the discussion that is in here now to give you a full view of where we are with the drafting team. We'll try to clean up the discussion and the text every week, but this also gives the group a fair insight into where we are. So that is to ensure the dynamic collaboration between the drafting team and the and the whole design team. I'm also very happy to take other suggestions on how to lay out the document on the list or in a direct call, because we're just trying to do the work and have the two processes link and keep on speed. I see Tatiana has handed, her hand is up, but I'd like to try to not fall back into process discussions, but let's try to go through the motions of all the different texts, especially now we seem to have some agreement, which is pretty good. Tatiana, please come in.
Hey, Niels, though I really wanted to address also the comments about the document, but whatever. So I thought that even if we will not quote this mission in the framework of interpretation, because clearly it is a very long text, and we can maybe just make a link to the bylaw, but we can, if the group agree on the later stage, just to explain that every case of the human rights consideration in the process of ICANN activities and policymaking has to be checked or tested for the mission limitation to not overstep the boundaries. So this is just a rough brainstorming, rough solution. So if we want to avoid the long and self-explanatory text, we can at least provide some explanation. Just an idea. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that suggestion, Tatiana. I suggest we take the we go to Gafur's, and then we try to go to the next point, because we're already 17 minutes into our call, and I would really like to discuss the whole document with the group, so that we in the design team can also benefit from the wisdom of the group. Gafur's, please come in.
Shorten the discussion for the next part. Whenever there is in the left-hand column a quotation from the mission and or core value, the only thing in the middle column it would say no interpretation is required. That is the maximum we could take, but we do not repeat that. We repeat on the left-hand column, the text, and then if there is a need for interpretation, we mention what interpretation we have. If there is no interpretation required, the text is crystal clear. It says no interpretation is required. That is what I suggest.
I'm very sorry, Gafur's, but the audio was hard to hear. I think you made some suggestions to...
Can I repeat?
Yes, please come in.
Yeah. What I said, that I am sorry that you have not heard me quite well. I said that whenever we quote something from mission or core value in the left-hand column the document proposed by the four distinguished lawyers, on the right-hand side, we have two options. If no interpretation is required, we just put no interpretation is required. If interpretation is required, then we put interpretation that we agree on that. So this is what I suggest. I hope that this time I am clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gafur's. And we'll take that suggestion into consideration. I see it's also clear for other members of the drafting team, so we'll definitely have a look at that. So on that note, let's continue to the next point in the agenda, which is within the scope of other core values. And there is some text there on the left column, which is a bit shorter, I think, than the text in the right column, because there are some brackets and discussions. But I'll leave this for Greg to introduce. Greg, please come in.
Thanks. This is Greg Shatton again, for the record. In contrast with the mission limitation we felt, or at least I felt, that the core values statement within the scope of other core values did require a good deal of interpretation, and prepared this text, and a little unclear why the language on the right side that was bracketed was not put in on the left. I'm not sure what the system here is, because there was no decision that language should come out.
Exactly, Greg. What I did, and this was just one way to make it a bit more readable, is to put in the column, in the second column, all text that seemed that was out of brackets. So that has been my process to clean up the document a bit. So, but that, of course, that it is in the second column doesn't mean that that is the final agreed text.
So I think what we need to do then is ignore the second column and look at the third column, because that's really what needs to be discussed, because that's really where the living thinking of the group is. So perhaps it would be better not even to have the second column, but whatever. So I think that, you know, the point here is that to provide guidance for how to interpret the human rights bylaw as a core value, and to contrast it with the commitments, and to understand how it needs to be balanced with the other core values. So we've again, turned to quoting first the what could be called the balancing test, but it's not really a test. It's a balancing exercise, and then some more explanatory discussion of how to balance this, and to guide those who are moving on and looking at this to use this. So this was not agreed by all of the members of the team, but we can get into who agrees or disagrees with any particular instance of this. Important to understand how the core values work. And unlike the mission, which is a boundary, and the commitments, which are a requirement, the core values are something more, a little more complex, and therefore interpretation was felt to be necessary, at least by some of us. So that is what is in there. Then the remaining point, again, comes back to quoting the remaining core values, where it says the other core values are, and so forth. So that is what we have here, is in fact a framework for interpretation, as well as the citation to the sections needed for interpretation, beyond citation, having pasted them in there. We could also, as was suggested, just have cross links, and once we have kind of a clean document, we can look at whether a short document with links or a longer, more self-sufficient document makes sense in terms of the work that we're doing. But for the moment, at least, keeping that in, as well as the interpretive text as well, which in a sense is really our main charge, is to provide a framework for further interpretation, so that different people visiting the human rights bylaw will interpret it consistently. And for that, we require more than mere citation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. As we can see from the document, there were some other perspectives in the design team, and we had a very interesting discussion. And I'd like to invite Jorge to give his view on this and how it would be a fit best. Jorge, please come in.
Hello, do you hear me?
We hear you very well, thank you.
Okay, this is Jorge Canfe again. Well, I think there's a common ground with Greg on this, and this is the element of stressing that we're talking about, the core value. And I think I was one of the first people in this working group to point this out in the emailing list and to repeatedly call also for an evaluation or an opinion by Icon Legal on how they intend to manage the balancing test. I don't remember actually whether we had any response on that, but I think it would be important. And I think it's important for certain reasons. First of all, when we are talking about the core values and the balancing test of core values and the relationship between core values, we are not only addressing the framework of interpretation of a specific human rights core value, but we are talking about the general framework where core values and commitments and the mission work together within the bylaws. So I think that before we make any specific interpretation about the human rights core value beyond what is in the bylaws or what can be inferred directly from the bylaws, from its nature as a core value, I think that we would need to have also the opinion from Icon Legal on what is this general relationship between core values and commitments, how they intend to apply this, or how they intend to help the board in applying this this relationship, and also the balancing test, which is an important element or aspect to the core values as a concept. And in the meantime, while we get that general assessment on these general questions which go beyond the human rights core value, I couldn't agree with some of the specifics proposed by Greg, which in my view tended to downplay in a way the character of the human rights core value. So I think that for instance, mentions like that core values are not intended to apply consistently and comprehensively to ICANN activities are at least subject to discussion. One thing is that they are not absolute, or that they are not something strictly to be followed, but something subject to a balancing test with other core values and also in a relationship with a commitment. And the different thing is to say that they should not apply consistently or comprehensively. Another thing that I objected to is that the core value, that there is no hierarchy at all among core values. I'm not sure whether we are in a position of affirming that, especially if we look into the components of the core values. We see that some core values may have more or less importance depending on the issue we are talking about. And generally speaking, to say that the human rights core value is always of an absolute equal importance than other core values, which seem to me a bit premature before we have a general overview of how ICANN intends to generally apply this framework of core values, commitments, etc. But returning to the beginning, I agree on the basic notion that, of course, a core value is different to a commitment, that is clear in the mission, and that there is a balancing test that is spelled out in the bylaws, and that this surely has to have some consequence on how the core value is applied later on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jorge. I'd like to now invite Tatiana, as the other member of the drafting team, to also give her perspective before we then open the floor to broader discussion within the group.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Nils. Tatiana Tropina is speaking for the record. Well, as you can see from the comments to the document, I fully support Greg's position. And now when I actually looked at the ICANN legal reply about balancing tests and the application of core values depending upon situation, I strongly disagree that some of the core values have to be like more important than others. At least I don't see this reply from the this in the ICANN legal reply. What I can say that I do not mind if we contact ICANN legal, but we shouldn't contact them with the same question. Rather, if there are any guidance for the application of the core values, if there is anything like on how they're actually applied or practiced, if this can be useful for us, yes, of course. Other than that, yes, I think Jorge and Greg have an agreement here that core values are different from commitments. I totally think that interpretation of core values relies on some flexibility compared to commitments, and of course it will take into account many factors that will be occurring, you know, in any given situation when the core value is applicable. And I do believe that it would be a true case of human rights, for example, in policy making and in some other activities. Let's say if there are some other values or commitments, like a common carrier, for example, of course core value will not be applicable because the core values are not absolute. And so I basically agree with Greg here. So this is also my interpretation of what I can by law say. And I also think that, like, as the last point, core values are actually outlined in the bylaw. They are explained in the bylaw. And to me, it rather looks kind of self-explanatory. The only question, and especially after the ICANN legal response to our question, the only question is maybe the process of their application or any practice of their application that might be useful for us. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We have now had two different perspectives from the drafting team, so it would be great if we would get input from the group to help us think further. So I'd like to welcome comments from the floor. I see Kafu's hand is up. Kafu, please come in.
Yes, one point, although ladies are first, but I was before Tatiana, so you've given me the floor. No problem, but please kindly, if we have the equality of rights, so we have to respect the truth, number one. Number two, I don't agree with people saying that some parts of the core value are different than the other. Second, I don't agree that we seek advice from other legal group. We are going to give them recommendations. We are not seeking advice from them. We can seek views of them, but not advice. Thirdly, if I look into the text,
the first part of the green text is preamble. I have no problem with that. The second part would start in contrast, core value, and then a square bracket, are not intended. I think that we need not to say that. We should start from the second part of the sentence saying that the core value are subject to the following interpretive rules in the bylaw, and see that this is quote from bylaw. So I don't think that we should mention that it is not to be applied consistently and comprehensively. We should not be so strict and so radical explaining in the interpretation that it should not be applied consistently and comprehensively. We should forget about that part and start the text with the core value or subject to following interpretive rules in the bylaw, and we go to what has been taken from the bylaw. It is a quotation, I have seen that already, and it is not something strange. Until we go to the second part, another paragraph, which is human rights bylaw must be balanced. So up to here, let us keep part by part, but not all together. It is difficult to agree everything at the same time. So this is piece by piece. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kavuz. That is very clear. That's a very clear suggestion for our drafting team to go forward. Greg, is that an old hand, or would you like to respond?
Oh, that's a new hand. I'll be brief. First, I did agree at least in part with what Kavuz was saying, and I'm not sure I got as much clarity out of the whole thing as you did, Niels, but hopefully that'll be cleared up over time. I do agree, and as stated in the text in the third column, there is no hierarchy among the core values. The balance must be determined on a case-by-case basis without automatically favoring any particular core value. I don't see any basis in the core values themselves or elsewhere in the bylaws or in the work that we did in the CCWG in redoing the core values that would make any core value more equal than any other core value. Just wanted to weigh in on that. I think it's also it's unfortunate Matthew Shears can't be with us, but apparently he's in a far, far better place, at least Costa Rica. But I think it's fair to say that he agreed with Tatiana and myself on this section. So for what that's worth in terms of, you know, looking at the working document, and obviously, as indicated, this is all still midstream. We hope to make further headway in the small group, but I would note that by taking the bracketed language away from the third column and putting in the second, basically eliminated all interpretation. That does not reflect, I think, the least, you know, the thoughts that I had, and I believe fair to say Tatiana and Matthew as well. But we will all move forward and try to work on what we've got. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Yeah, it was by no means intended, because I think further down text by others have been bracketed. It was just to ensure that there is a piece that is well readable for people who did not have the time commitment to go through as thoroughly as the drafting team has been doing. So now we have given people an overview of the different perspectives that are present on this part. I'd like to invite people from the drafting team to give an overview from the next part, and that's on respecting. And I think that's where even more discussion ensued. So who from the drafting team can I give the floor on giving a short overview of where we are here? I see Kavuz's hand is up. Kavutz, please come in.
Yes, the second part in the square bracket is starting the human rights bylaw must be balanced against other potentially competing core values. I don't think that this part should be in a square bracket. It's a fact. It should be balanced. Then the sentence continuing furthermore, this interpretive rule recognizes that there must be flexibility in applying the core values based on. I also agree with that because we need to have some degree of flexibility. We should not tie up the hand of the people applying that. So I don't think that this part also needs to be, I don't think it should be in a square bracket. And then continue that this is also made clear that the core values sections of the bylaw which state that the core values are interested to guide. I think this also should not be in the square bracket. Up to the end of this sentence say core value. So at least this part should not be square bracket. This is a fact, this is a reality, and this must be outside the square bracket. It should be some sort of interpretation. Either we confirm what is in the text of the bylaw, or we at least deal our understanding that we fully agree with that. So it should not be this part in a square bracket. The last part is that as such a core value can never create an absolute commitment. That is also a reality. I don't think that we should put in a square bracket because at the beginning we said that the core value is not commitment. The commitment is the mission. Therefore, the whole paragraph should not be in a square bracket, and I suggest that we take out the square bracket and we retain the content of the square bracket. Thank you.
Kavutz, thank you very much for your comments, even though I'm afraid that many of them got lost due to bad audio quality. Therefore, I would really like to invite you, Kavutz, because many of your comments seemed really very actionable and very concrete, whether you would be able to make these comments on the list or maybe even in the Google Doc so the drafting team can directly integrate them in the working on the text and in their deliberations. I hope that will be possible.
Yes, if it's possible, just take out the square bracket. That's all. Take out the square bracket for the whole part until we come to our absolute. That's all. Take the square bracket from the whole text. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kavutz. I see Tijani's hand is up. Tijani, please come in.
Thank you very much, Neil. Do you hear me?
We hear you very well. Thank you.
Do you hear me?
We hear you very well. Thank you.
Okay,
continue,
thank
please.
You very much.
Very well. Thank you. Continue, please.
Okay. I am really glad we are progressing very well. And I, first of all, I do agree with the first part regarding the mission. I completely agree with the text. For the second part, also, I agree with this text. And I think that what Greg just said is relevant. There is no exact equality between the core values. It depends on the situation. We may have core value A more important than core value B in certain situations. In another situation, it might be the contrary. So it is case by case. There is not a rule. You cannot say there is exactly an equality or exactly same level or same importance. But we cannot say that they have there is one core value more important than the other. It depends on the situation. So I reiterate another time my thanks to the drafting team. I really like the text of this document. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much on that. So now I would like to invite Tatiana, as suggested by Greg, to take us through a first reading of the word thing on respecting, which really invited a lot of discussion. So it would be great, Tatiana, if you could take us through it and give us a quick overview of the departure points and the discussions. And after that, we'll invite Jorge and Greg to do the same.
Thank you very much. Niels, Tatiana Trofina is speaking for the record. Well, I believe that it is one of the most controversial issues for our group. And taking the lead on this, explaining the positions, I feel a bit like a dart, the board for darts, so feel free to throw them. So the first thing to highlight is that respecting human rights is where the issue of applicability or inapplicability of RAGI principles come as strong as it possibly could. I will not repeat again the debate about RAGI and whether they are applicable and for what kind of businesses they were developed to commit. This is probably outside of the discussion, and we have really time limits. So what we could possibly suggest is that we could, of course, use RAGI as one of the sources for interpretation of this provision, but we also believe that the bylaw uses the term respect in a way to contrast it with the enforcement of human rights. And if we think that the term respect will also be guided by core values, there are many elements in this. And also, like, test it again, the mission. So it is not clear whether RAGI can be actually used as a only and unique guideline in this. To put it simple, we think that respecting human rights may be just simply seen as avoiding human rights violations as a core value and within the ICANN mission. But it sounds more like a negative commitment. It could be actually turned into a positive commitment, and I will add this to the document later, but it can be formulated something like, for example, taking into account the necessity to balance the human rights core value with other core values. ICANN shall take into account human rights in developing its policies and its decision-making processes. So I do believe that when we are talking about respect for human rights, we also, because now the core value provision of the bylaw is much more clear, we can also think about how this respect provision can be balanced against the core value concept. So basically, that's all from me. I hope that Greg or Jorge can follow on this. Maybe, I mean, just as a suggestion, I don't know what is the line in the queue. Maybe we can invite Greg first and then Jorge, because I believe that Greg and I are on the same page and we have disagreements with Jorge. So instead of splitting this discussion into three, we can just listen to one side and then listen to another side. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. Even though I would like to de-emphasize different sides, I think we're all on one team and we're all trying to get one framework of interpretation out, and it has never been done for an organization like ICANN. So we're working on this together, and there are different ideas and approaches. But as you suggested, I would really like to invite Jorge to also give his perspective on how we think we can move forward. Jorge, please come in.
Hello, everybody. Do you hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Even though I hear a bit of echo, so I'd like to make sure that all other people who are not speaking have their phones muted.
Okay. I could make it very brief and say that I agree with Tatiana, but I guess that wouldn't be the whole story. But I think there's a lot of common ground. I don't know, perhaps because I've been working in diplomatic environment for very long, I see that actually we are not so far apart. And I would like to stress some of the elements I think that we are in agreement. There's we have an agreement on the parameters of the bylaw text that set the frame for what the concept or the notion of respect or respecting may mean. And these parameters are on the one side the concept used of respecting human rights, and on the other side as a negative limit that this cannot mean that I can will enforce human rights. So those are the two main parameters of the bylaw text, and I think we agree on that. We also agree on the notion that the UNGP or the RAGI principles are one of the sources that may be used. I'm of the opinion that it's a very relevant source because it's an international standard. For Greg or for Tatiana, it's just one source. Okay, but we agree that it's a source that it's valuable to look at. And the reactions in the community will determine what has to be the importance of this. And going more into the substance, I think that there's a disagreement between us or amongst us on the notion of respecting. I think that respecting cannot be construed as only meaning not violating. That would be a limited interpretation of the notion of respecting. It would mean that respecting is equivalent to abstain from violating human rights. I think that's too small a meaning for the notion of respect. And the reference of the RAGI principles tells us that respecting may mean on the one side the UNGP principle 13A, where we have a more or less rough agreement that it means that you don't violate human rights or that you don't actively contribute to violations of human rights. But it also means in 13B that you also do something about violations of human rights if they are permitted by your immediate business partners, although this is more of a moral obligation because there's no commitment, there's no obligation to remediate violations by third parties, and there's also no commitment, no obligation to severe relations with business partners. It's just a moral obligation that you should do something about human rights violations when they have a direct relationship with you. But going beyond the RAGI principles, I would just stress as my final consideration on this that respect for me means both a negative element of not violating, not infringing, and also a positive element of adjusting and promoting your activity in a way that is human rights consistent. So this concept should find both sides in our interpretation. And I leave it by that for a moment. Thank you.
Oh, this is very great to hear and read at the same time the positions of Jorge, Tatiana, and Greg come together. That's very nice. We've also seen a possibility at the end of the text in green how we could go forward, but it seems like we're really making steps with the text and the positive commitments also suggested by Tatiana. So that seems like a real fertile working ground. I see Greg and Cavu's hand are up, and we'll definitely go through that queue. But I would also really like to hear other voices that can inform our opinions. And I'd like to emphasize that the room should not be shy, even though we only have 5 minutes left. Greg, Cavus, please come in. Greg.
Could you let I'll let Cavus go ahead of me. I'm just multitasking now for a minute. Thank you.
Okay, Cavus, please come in. And then David McCauley, and then we...
Thank you very much. I don't think that it is duty of this group to reconcile between views of Jorge, Greg, and Tatiana. That is their duty to sit down together and reconcile among themselves. That is point number one. Point number two, with respect to the applicability or otherwise of Ruggie principles, first of all, we need in the column to start with some preamble, saying that the group has considered various sources based on which the interpretation of human rights may be based, among which that was Ruggie principle. Then we could say that it was considered that the Ruggie principle, which is written for the UNGP and so on and so forth, is not applicable totally to the human rights. Nevertheless, some part of that, if you found one part or two parts, may be applicable under the following conditions, and we express the conditions under certain circumstances without any mandatory application and with optional arrangement. So we could say that, but we could have some preamble with that principle. I don't agree that we radically exclude totally. We should mention that some of them may be applicable under certain conditions, and conditions need to be drafted by the group. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavus. And unfortunately, I'm afraid you're still suffering with muffled audio. I hope we can have that better next time. David, some final thoughts, and maybe some from Greg, and then we need to round up. Greg, David, please come in. David, please start.
Thank you, Niels. David McCauley for the record. I'll be very quick, and I'm responding to your invitation for others to comment. On the idea of respect, I think we need to look at where we're coming from. ICANN is an organization that has been very open, transparent, et cetera. I don't think it's a human rights abuser in any sense, and it has taken the step to now have a bylaw that says we will respect human rights. I'm concerned with comments that we see in the calls about taking steps to address human rights violations, to mitigate, et cetera. I think we need to just take one step at a time. If there's a problem, we can leap to the next step if a problem arises. And so I see respect as a positive statement. ICANN has said we will respect human rights. That ethos can infuse the whole organization, and I think it would be a mistake for us to say that means, therefore, that we will now address, we will mitigate, et cetera, and I guess that's why I struggled so much with the Ruggie principles. Anyway, that's my general comment. Thank you, Niels.
Thank you very much, David. That can open a whole range of discussion. I close the queue after Greg. We only have 1 minute left. Greg, do you have some very short, very final thoughts?
Sure, it's Greg. I'll try to be brief, but yet not talk too quickly. So I think we were quite clear in Workstream 1 and preparing the bylaw that there was no intention to create an automatic application of the Ruggie principles, and there was quite a bit of concern about applying all and particular parts, particularly, of the Ruggie principles. So I think it would be of great concern to those who approved Workstream 1 On that basis, if we were to now argue that because we've used the word respect, somehow we've pulled a string and attached to that string is every last Ruggie principle. Because at that point, we're going to have significant issues. I hope somebody enjoyed their lunch. We're going to have significant issues, and I think, you know, the point is, and what we did do, as Neil's led us through it, it was a point-by-point discussion of Ruggie. Clearly does not, you know, jive either with the idea that we are Ruggie huggers up and down the line. There's a lot to be gleaned from them. Not all of what is gleaned from them, even if it were to be adopted by ICANN, is within the remit of the bylaw, and not all of it, even if it is a question of interpretation. And we've made the distinction between interpretation and implementation and policy decisions. And I think this is, you know, not intended to be, nor can it be, some sort of a wholesale adoption of Ruggie. Rather, it's retail. So I think, and there are reasons, and I think we need to, look at those things. We need to look at this on a case-by-case basis, and that's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. And I'm very happy that that's exactly what we've been doing. We're creating something based on the experience and models that is out there. And I'd like to thank you all for engaging in this exploratory and exciting exercise. We've made, again, quite a lot of progress. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to discuss everything. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to do a second reading of the applicable law concept as considered, as proposed by David McCauley, but then we also haven't had a response from ICANN Legal on that yet. All in all, we're making great progress, and thank you all very much for contributing to that. I have two questions. One is that everyone who made very concrete suggestions for text changes and contributions to the text, if you would like to support the drafting team in making their job easier, is take those comments and either put them in an email or in the Google Doc, so it's much easier for the drafting team to work with it. And secondly, if you get so enthusiastic by hearing all these texts and considerations and perspectives, you can also be part of the drafting team. So feel free to share an email to the list, and you can be part of the calls and the process. That will be very much appreciated. If not, it's also still great to see you back on the list during that week and at the call next week. Thank you all very much. Enjoy your evening, and see you all on the list and on the call and in Hyderabad. Bye.
Bye all.